Monday, and that means we need to check in with Dick Weiss of WeissWrite.com, WeissWrite.com. Post-Dispatch editor for 30 years, spent 20 years at the Metro Desk. He's our media critic, and we get an inside look at the news that goes on every day. Mr. Weiss, welcome to Big 550 KTRS.
Great to be back.
Did you see that story about Fred Thompson? Did you hear me talk about it earlier in the day? Where a bunch of Republicans got together and asked him questions about his time when he was single in Washington.
Oh.
And he says, I've dated quite a bit. He said, sometimes I chase the women, and sometimes the women chased me. And when the women chased me, they usually caught me. And then and they're quoting all of his ex-girlfriends and ex-wives and saying he's such a great guy, and all of his ex-girlfriends are coming to his defense. And so the Republican Party is saying, hey, he's got to be a good guy if all his ex-wives.
His ex-girlfriends
say. Can you, in terms of PR and media coverage, can you think of a better way to handle that story?
No, I think given what's happened over the years, the best thing you can do these days is inoculate yourself. And the way to do that is to, instead of having people discover things about you, that you had so many ex-wives or certain things happen, is to come out and say what you've done.
Right.
And Clinton set the bar high or low. I'm not quite sure what. So you can now have done many, many things, and you can have inhaled.
Right.
You can have had sex in your office, as long as you come out and reveal it yourself instead of having it discovered about you.
Matter of fact, Mayor Bloomberg was asked, have you ever smoked marijuana? And he said, not only have I smoked it, but I liked it.
I enjoyed it, yes. And didn't Barack Obama have some blow?
I believe he did, yes. He wrote in his book that he tried cocaine,
And as long as you haven't done it within, with the last 10 or 20 years. Now, remember back, I think we lost a Supreme Court nominee over
Ginsburg, wasn't
it? Yeah, marijuana.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I don't think you'd have any trouble getting appointed as long as you're really an arch conservative, at least at this point.
That's a good point. It was Ginsburg. Was asked, have you ever smoked marijuana? He said yes, and it was such an uproar and an outcry that they had to withdraw his nomination.
Now, I think you still probably cannot have a nanny who was an illegal alien. That's probably not a good thing.
That is true, and you must pay the Social Security benefits of your nanny if you want to be in national office.
So that hasn't gone away.
Yeah. I love Fred.
What a country.
What a country. All right, we talked about this last week. Did you see this story where MSNBC researched it and found 144 journalists have given money to a political cause or party? Most of them went to Democrats. A few went to Republicans. Some, I think it was two or three, went to both parties.
Right, and not surprising that there were maybe more Democrats. Not surprising as well that those who gave to Republicans gave a lot more money.
Aha, it's those rich liberals in the media.
Okay.
Big story, interesting, no big deal.
Well, in some ways I was rather surprised that Bill Dedman, who was the investigative reporter who did this work, did not find more more journalists who were making campaign donations. Most of the journalists that were making those donations were not covering politics. They're entertainment writers and columnists and so on. And I think Joe Scarborough, who does cover politics, but he's got opinions.
And he was also a former Republican congressman.
Republican. And so, you know, this is a big deal that he gives money to the candidates. You know, what you're really looking for that would be scandalous would be somebody who's covering politics. I think there were a couple of people. I think one was a local television anchor person who was buddy-buddy with a politician and gave some money. But there were not that many,
wasn't like Brian
local
Williams on the list.
Or the
Mike
local
Bush.
Version of the political writer Joe Manny's at the Post-Dispatch, who was not on the list, who was giving money to a politician. But it does bring up an interesting point, because donating money is a free, essentially a free speech, right? And is that something that you should, that newspapers and publications should necessarily take away from their staffers? And at the Post-Dispatch, I do not remember, we had a policy manual, and I don't remember if it explicitly bars campaign donations, but it really is very strict about affiliating yourself with a campaign or a politician, and you would you'd be subject to discipline. You certainly wouldn't be covering that politician if you did. But that said, I would hazard to guess that there were many families where donations were made. And I'll give you one example. My own family, my wife would donate in the five figures to a politician, $100.65.
Ed Goldman.
Being five figures. Yeah. And I would say, make sure you put a note on there that this is from you, Sally J. Altman, not Richard Weiss. That's my wife, Sally. And that it's only from you because I don't want my name associated with that politician. And, you know, that's what she would do, and my name never appeared in connection with a politician. But we have a joint account.
Right. But hold on. This brings up interesting questions because, one, you're saying that a reporter can't objectively cover a story once it's out that he or she is supporting A or B.
Oh, I would say that a reporter could objectively cover a story. It's the perception. It's the public's perception about whether the reporter could or couldn't. You know, I like to think we all have our opinions. We all go into the voting booth,
right.
Most of us.
Right.
Actually, there's one editor of the Washington Post who refuses to vote.
I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And so we have our opinions about who should be an elected official. And so we have to park those and put those off to the side when we're covering a candidate. So whether you give money or not really isn't going to affect your objectivity any more than how you cast your vote.
News organizations give all sorts of money to politicians. They hire lobbyists. They
Absolutely.
Do all sorts of those things. So they can do that, but their workers shouldn't do that.
Right, and the publishers are those.
Right.
Michael Pulitzer, for instance, gave money to candidates.
And Rupert Murdoch gives money.
Oh,
NBC and ABC and CBS put out big spreads for all the politicians at all of the conventions. And come on in and have a good time and schmooze and the whole thing. Also, every time you ask a business person who gave X amount of money to a politician, you say, boy, you gave a lot of money to do you think you're buying influence? They say?
Oh, no.
And what do they say they're doing?
They say that they just want to give to the causes that they believe in.
And they also say, at best, maybe he'll answer my phone call.
Right.
Right?
And once he answers the phone call, then the politician goes and does that person's bidding.
Often. That's the...
Depending on how much that person has given and how much influence that person has on other donors.
That is the cynic in you saying that. But
it's true.
Money that they say buys access, right?
Absolutely.
At least pick up the phone and at least hear my point of view.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Journalists need access. And so if I can give $500 to Governor Blunt for his reelection campaign and I want to get him on the phone or I want to get him on the show, would he be more apt to come to my show than somebody else's show? Right?
Yeah, right.
So
I suppose so.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I think that in a sense, it there's a continuum. The more money you give, the more access you have, and the more power that you have. And it's an unfair system, really. It's free speech, but it's an unfair system because people who don't have money don't get the access, don't get the attention paid, don't get the laws passed in their interest.
So, in other words, it is wrong for journalists to give money to a candidate, but it's okay for NBC to give a whole lot of money to Paris Hilton to get her to be the first interview on the Today Show with Meredith Vieira.
I didn't say that. I don't think that's appropriate.
this Paris Hilton thing, I know the story's ridiculous.
Nice segue, though.
But what is transpiring is pretty interesting.
Yes.
Because ABC has basically, what ABC came out, I think it was on Friday, and said, we were told, we were offered $100,000 for incidentals and travel and a hotel and a car and a fruit basket and everything else, adds up to about $100,000. We were told we are not even in the same league. And it so happens that soon after that, NBC announces Meredith Vieira is going to be doing the interview with mm-hmm. Paris Hilton.
Yeah, and previously, another interesting interview situation was with the Princess.
That's right.
And NBC cut a deal to run the Princess Diana Memorial Concert.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, what falls into their lap but an interview with Matt Lauer and William and Harry.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, can NBC still say that they don't pay for interviews?
Right. I don't think if I were them, I could say that.
I mean, it's really, that line is no longer there anymore.
It's been really blurred.
And it's really,
sort of tragically so.
There's really no difference between Inside Edition, Esquire, and the Today Show if this Paris Hilton interview continues to go on. And it isn't like it's Gary Condit or Scott Peterson or a president or a mm-hmm. senator. I mean, this is Paris Hilton. They're shelling out big bucks
mm-hmm.
for Paris Hilton.
Now, you might be more current on this. I thought she was coming on with Larry King.
She is. She has. They have the exclusive.
Oh, they do. Well,
yeah.
What happened to Meredith Vieira?
That went by the wayside when they after the whole issue.
Okay.
ABC, same thing, and then Larry King picked it up, which begs the question: is he paying for it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hard to know.
So Friday, NBC must have backed off then.
They did.
And later. The other thing your listeners should know is that Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation yesterday apologized for not being able to get Paris Hilton. And he said, but frankly, folks, he said, I don't have the least idea what I would ask her.
And I believe that.
Weisswright.com, what is your best story we've never read?
Oh, well, do you have a favorite waitress or waiter in St. Louis?
I have a favorite bartender.
I
have a favorite bartender.
Yeah. And, well, this is a story out of the Dallas Morning News called Sisters Serve Up Plenty of Charm, and it's about a couple of sisters who work at two different diners in Dallas, Barbara and Natalie Woodley. And the lead is reads this way. Barbara Woodley, a waitress at Mama's Daughter's Diner, came to work last week wearing big hair, a purple blouse, black pants, bright costume jewelry, and a pair of oversized rhinestone sunglasses. Her sister Natalie, everyone agrees, is the flamboyant one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a delightful piece about these two women and how they sass their customers and keep them coming back for more. And it makes me think, gosh, there are probably some great waiters or waitresses out there. Maybe we ought to have a contest. You know, write 300 words on your favorite waiter or waitress, and we'll honor them here on KTRS, the Big 550. Put them on our A-list.
A little reference to the A-list. All right, that's Weisswright.com, Weisswright.com for that story as well as others. And if you missed this segment, you can go to my website. That has a link to Dick's website that will replay the interview shortly. You're still putting these up on a podcast, right?
Yes, and the best stories you've never read are right there, and along with other material that we talk about on this show.